Let's see everyone out this morning on this Mother's Day, and want to wish all the mothers here and expecting mothers, if any, and to have a great day. If you're following along this morning, we'll be in Luke, the first chapter, verse 26 and following. Now, most of us might be familiar with the Calvin and Hobbes comic strip. I know it doesn't, it's not in the papers anymore, but it used to be. Now, on one little strip on Mother's Day, Calvin is pictured standing by his mother's bed. He says, "Hey, Mom, wake up. I made you a Mother's Day card." "My, how sweet of you," she says. "I did it all by myself. Go ahead and read it." She began to read, and this is what Calvin wrote. "I was going to buy a card with hearts of pink and red, but then I thought I'd rather spend the money on me instead. It's awfully hard to buy things when one allowance is so small, so I guess you're pretty lucky if you get anything at all. Happy Mother's Day. There, I said it, now I'm done. So how about getting out of bed and fixing breakfast for your son?" Signed, Calvin. "I'm deeply moved," his mother said. "Did you notice the part about my allowance?" he asked. Well, some of you out there may feel kind of like Calvin's mother this morning, wondering if anybody's going to say, "Thank you, Mom, for all the good stuff you do." Being a mom is a tough job, and we honor that, and we recognize that today. On Mother's Day, there's another comic strip, for better or worse. It portrayed Michael's mother tossing and turning in her bed, thinking about her role as a mother, asking herself, "Am I too tough, or am I too lenient? Do I give in too much or too seldom? Do I listen to what he has to say? Do I understand him? Do I nag him too much? Am I really a good parent?" Now the last frame shows Michael lying on his bed and saying, "The problem with grown-ups is they think they know it all. Mothers struggle with their decisions because their family and their future is so important to her." For the Christian mother today, it's even harder. In fact, mothers recognize all too well that when they send their children off in the morning, all kinds of things lie in wait to waylay them and take them off the path they should be on. Drugs and gangs and alcohol and filth out there. And they must be strong if they're going to help their kids overcome that. In the past, our educational system encouraged development of Christian principles and attitudes. But today, that's not necessarily true. In fact, it's against the law most places. Too often, children are being taught that there is no absolute standards as far as right and wrong. Anything goes and everything's permissible as long as it feels good in life. So it's difficult being a Christian mother today, but as hard as that may be, we need to realize that difficulties are not unique to our time. In every age, motherhood had its share of difficulties. For example, if we look at Mary, the mother of Jesus, and consider some of the difficulties she faced and apply them to our lives today. Now, first of all, she faced the difficulty of a tarnished reputation. Mary was with Jesus before they were married, and we know that this was the Son of God, but the town didn't. Do you think they believed the story in this little town of Nazareth? You know how gossip spreads in a small town, and you know, of course, this is what they have to endure. In fact, 30 years later, when Jesus was beginning his ministry, his enemies said to him, "We are not illegitimate children." In opposing him, they were putting in what they thought was a knife and twisting it. They wanted to bring that up to him at that time. On this Mother's Day, you may not feel too comfortable. You may struggle with past decisions. Were they right? Could have they been better? But let me remind you, God not only forgives, he also forgives. Encourage your children not to repeat the mistakes that we made, but help them to realize that God is a God of mercy and grace. You had a new beginning with him, so encourage them to live their lives to be worthy of his love. Secondly, Mary experienced the difficulty of poverty. The book of Philippians said that Jesus was rich, and then he became poor for our sakes. In Philippians 2, we read that Jesus had it all. Son of God and God himself up in heaven. He came to live with the poor of the poorest at that time. I tend to think that we don't realize how poor Mary and Joseph were. When Jesus was brought to the temple as a baby for the first time, Joseph and Mary offered two doves. And that was a sacrifice of the poorest in their society. They had nothing better to give. And even that was a struggle and a burden for them. Are you poor? If you have experienced the pressure of trying to buy things your children want, the right running shoes, the right designer clothes, and all the things they may want very much, then take the time to teach them that life does not consist of all the abundant things we may possess. Teach them that there are other things much more important, eternal things we cannot see, and that will last forever. We have to teach them what's truly important in life. As a person named Jean Baron spent several years living in a little mobile home, it's pretty dilapidated. She tells about raising her kids in that kind of environment. Then one day her son came to her and announced that his best friend had run away from home. She said, "I looked at my child and said, I don't understand. He lives in such a nice house and seems to have everything any child could ever want. Why did he run away?" Her son answered, "Well, in their home, they have a lot of environment, but not very much love. In our home, we have a lot of love, just not very much environment. You know, love is free. It doesn't cost money. It just costs time and our attention and our emotions." Thirdly, Mary faced the difficulty of people and their hatred towards her child. Even at his birth, Matthew 2 says that an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. He said, "Get up, take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him." When Jesus was born, evil was set in motion to do away with him at that time. You know, the same thing happens when a child is born today. For Satan sees a child as God's gift to you. Psalm 127, verse 3 tells us, "Sons are a heritage from the Lord. Children are a reward for him." Satan knows this, and the quickest way to destroy your family is to attack your child who doesn't have the maturity and the power to deal with it. Jesus said of Satan, he is a murderer from the beginning. There's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native tongue. When Jesus put it that way, that's just natural for the devil to lie. You know, people think, and you know, when kids get in trouble, they think, "Well, I'm going to tell the truth, I'm going to tell a lie." They have to think about it. But for Satan, he doesn't have to think about it. For the truth is not in him. Guard your children from evil influences. One other difficulty that Mary experienced was being a single mom. We don't know what happened to Joseph. Many scholars assume that he must have died when Jesus was in his late teens, early 20s. For the last time he is mentioned is when Jesus was 12 years old in the temple in Jerusalem. After that trip, Joseph is never mentioned again. Mary became a widow, raising Jesus and her other children by herself. She faced the difficulty that some of us face today, that some mothers face today. She struggled with the double duty of being it all. Now, what resources did Mary have? Mary faced many difficulties, but she also had something to lean on. Her first resource was her strong commitment to doing God's will. It says in Luke 1:35, "The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God.'" Then in verse 38, Mary answered, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be with me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Mary knew that she carried in her womb God's only begotten Son, and that by giving birth to Jesus, she was doing exactly what God commanded her. When we follow God, we have a purpose in life. A guy named James Keller once said, "Every mother has the breathtaking privilege of sharing with God in the creation of a new life. And when God places a child or children into your arms, His will for you is to bring them up in a home where they will know God and His Word and Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord." She had the resource of Jesus being an obedient child. Hebrews 4:15 says, We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Jesus didn't stray away or get into trouble or anything like that. He knew his purpose. Mary had the wonderful blessing of a child who was obedient. The best thing you can give your mother on Mother's Day is to be obedient. It's better than cards. It's better than flowers. Better than even chocolate. Just being an obedient child. And not writing Mother's Day cards like Calvin did. That's commanded in the Scriptures. Children, you shall obey your parents. And Luke tells us that Jesus was obedient to them. I like the story about the little boy who came in where his mom had announced that he had two pieces of candy. He says, "What are you going to do with them?" she answered. He said, "I'm going to eat them." Thinking it was a great teaching opportunity, she said to him, "Don't you think you ought to share the candy with your brother?" He answered, "I don't have enough to share, so I'm going to eat them myself." Well, it was obvious that he needed to be taught a lesson in generosity. So she asked, "What do you think Jesus would do if he had two pieces?" He answered, "I think Jesus would make two more pieces of candy and give them to my brother." Teach them that the joy of sharing and caring for others, because the world teaches the opposite. The world teaches him that I got two pieces of candy and I'm going to enjoy it myself. But God wants us to know that someone out there might not have a piece of candy and might need or want, you know, to have a piece of candy, and we should share with it. When we share with others, we'll feel more than that good feeling in our tummy whenever we eat that candy. We'll feel the gladness that we have when sharing with others and knowing that someone else shared with us in that moment. I love the cartoon that shows the mother at home, her hair is in disarray, kids are everywhere, and the house is in absolute shambles. Then her husband comes home from work, he's all neatly dressed in a coat and tie, and he's carrying his briefcase. She takes one look at him, and he looks at her with a big question mark on his face. She tells him, "You come home every evening and ask what I do all day. Today, I didn't do it, and here it is." You know, Billy Graham said his favorite story is of a husband who was not very attentive to his wife. But one day, he started feeling guilty about that and decided to change. So on his way home from work, he bought a box of candy and some flowers to surprise his wife. He walks up to the door and rings the doorbell. She opens it, and there he stands, candy in one hand, flowers in the other, singing, "I love you truly, truly dear." Instantly, she starts crying, big old tears are gushing out of her eyes, and she sobs, she says, "Oh, Harry, everything went wrong today. We had a leak in the plumbing, the kids were terrible, the house is wrecked, and now you come home drunk." You know, love and recognize your spouse for all she does each and every day in the Lord. And maybe she won't think that we're off our rocker or on something if we come home and bring her some flowers. Let her know each and every day that we truly appreciate her. And kids too, that we truly appreciate what mom does for us each and every day. Because that's all you hear all day in the house. Mom, mom, this one mom, that one mom. And that's what goes on all day. And mom answers, mom attends, and mom does things for us. So give her that appreciation every day so it's not a surprise when it comes. You know, encourage one another every day, the Bible says, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. That applies to husbands and wives, and that applies to children and their mothers too. Don't let burdens seem so great that sin enters in, but let them know that they're deeply appreciated. If we become discouraged, it becomes easy to sin and it hardens us. The deceitfulness of sin to take in our lives, to take away from us. So we need to encourage the moms today and help them realize that they're doing a job no one else can do, and that is be a mom. So Mary was rewarded for her faithfulness as a mother. She was there to see Jesus resurrected from the dead. She was in an upper room when 120 gathered to pray and the Holy Spirit came upon them. And she lived to see her other children accept Jesus as Messiah and Lord too. And the God who rewarded her had promised, and he promises to reward us also. So hang in there, moms. God's power is yours. And he'll help you with your struggles. God bless you on this special day. and I hope you have a wonderful day. It's not our usual sermon of trying to get people to Christ or anything like that, but there's one thing that moms do, is that they teach their children in the Lord to accept and obey the gospel. And in that, that's a wonderful thing. And accepting the gospel means that we have someone, a Father in heaven, who will watch over us, who will take over that responsibility, not that we're adults, and do what needs to be done in our lives to save us from ourselves. I don't know what your condition is this morning, or if you have need of the church. Won't you stand as we stand and sing the song of invitation?